Buenos dias, mein Freund. This is Daryl War, and I am anticipating some hopeful expectations from this podcast. I'm doing my best to provide what I can to the degenerate state of the universe we find ourselves in. If you have the capability of letter writing, my email address is xoisceythe@hotmail.com. If you are interested in the series as a whole, the best website to visit is thepitofultimatedarkshadows.wordpress.com. And when you get below the collage, scroll down, all the episodes are buttons, episode 1, episode 2, episode 3, etc., etc. Touch those and click on them and whatever, and you'll get to the episode you want, blah, blah, blah. As some of you know, The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is a relief series for the original 1960s series of Dark Shadows, which incorporates many other shows and movies that fit in as well as they can to find the balance with our beloved characters in order to help them solve the madness. It's a multi-fandom, just the same as Dark Shadows is a multi-fandom, based on a lot of old spooky books. You just toss some stuff in. Very unique to take humor, mystery, and situation comedy characters blending with soap opera characters. However, I've been doing this since about 2009, and I have discovered, in all our own surprise, that it works. I have also, over the years, had to face the very sad fact that as much as we predicted that the internet was going to help explore whatever we had to offer, in the end, it isn't doing that. So, I have shocked people by going back to pen pals via paper letters and email, and that has worked out better for me. I have constructed all manner of pointers and expressive settings on the internet to make the audience responsive, but all most of the listeners do, have done, and continue to pursue is expecting the massive crowd of, quote, other people, unquote, to do the talking for them, never recognizing that they are that, quote, magical crowd, unquote, themselves. And no matter what I say, most listeners deflect this information. It's every man for himself, and each listener now assumes completely that I'm talking to all the other listeners beyond him or herself. That's pretty much the deal here. By the way, episode 18, Braving the Waters, is out, and there are various platforms if you want to find that. I just wasn't going to share it other than a possible photo format on social media because I figured if you can think and are able to use the internet a little bit better than most, I wasn't going to spoon feed you. You can just go find the goodies on your own. You can at least earn the goodies on your own if you know how to find them. So, episode 18 in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is out there if you didn't know before. Just a brief aside. I really should have recognized, going into this, that a lot of you elder Dark Shadows fans really didn't care about the younger generation coming into it. You just cared about yourselves and your childhood, and forget anyone else's childhood. And yeah, I've seen this instability often enough in my own life. Us of the younger variety, well, we don't matter to you, and we never did. And I really should have realized that earlier. Thankfully, I do now. So, I can just not give a darn about what supposed opinions there are over the 2012 Dark Shadows film, since it's all just regurgitated hate speak from overexposure to negativity. And why should the younger generation care about that? As always, you guys really have no bearings on teaching the younger generation. As usual, you're just pulling stuff out of your behind. Why shouldn't the younger generation rebel? You've made it extremely obvious we don't matter to you, right? So, why should we care? Really, why should we? Now, for something more lighthearted, we shall go into a bit of a workshop that Oisin Navoy and I engaged in during her visit here in 2015. As may have been heard from her interview podcast a few years ago. Yes, I said years. And it was Oisin and I, with our very loving husbands, of course. So there's a little banter between the four of us. And a lot of the different shows in the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows are also being discussed, as well as me fiddling with my tablet to try and show her some information and all the pitfalls that happen in that juncture. So hopefully you'll get a much more cozy feeling from the workshop, as well as a happier Daryl War at the end of this podcast. And so we go through some ideas of how to engage potential new characters in the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows from a show she informed me of, which is Randall and Hopkirk, Deceased. Enjoy.
So Randall and Hopkirk, Deceased. Good to have a ghost on your side in private eye business, especially in cases when an invisible. Oh, it can really turn the tide in your favor. Mike Pratt plays Jeff Randall, and Kenneth Cope is his ghost partner, Marty Hopkirk, cursed to wander the earth for 100 years. Oh, there we are again, 100 years. See, that's what I did with Caleb. I was like, why is it 100 years? And I'm thinking, ghosts? Boom, there it is.
And of course, Laura comes back every 100 years until they change that, and she comes back whenever the heck she wants to.
But yeah,
originally, like, she comes back every 100 years.
We want to keep it going, so therefore we'll change the rules, like with Doctor Who now.
Yeah, we'll totally forget the rules.
Yeah. Which I just felt, wouldn't it be cool if the final whatever, how many doctors there were supposed to be, the final one be a woman, and then she just gives birth, and then they go keep going that way, you
okay,
know?
Cool.
That would have been worth it. I mean, there was already a, he had a daughter somewhere in there, I remember, during the,
We sort of had a daughter.
Sort of had it. It was like some pseudo-clone thing.
Right. Yeah, right.
It was like a pseudo-clone thing.
yeah, I kind of remember that.
Wow. So basically, what's the gist of Randall and Hopkirk as far... How many seasons do they have?
Was it only one, or was it two?
I think it was two.
There's not that many episodes. There's maybe 28 episodes or something like that. Yeah, it's basically they're these two private eyes in London, you know, fairly down on their luck, never get enough money, blah, blah, blah. And they're working a case in the first episode, and Marty Hopkirk gets killed by the bad guys in the case of the first episode, and so then, yeah, Randall's grieving for his friend and all this sort of stuff, and then the friend turns up again as a ghost to help solve the mystery of his killing, but because they've got some rules of ghostliness that they make up for this show that aren't terribly compatible with other stuff, but there's some rule about if you're not back at your grave at sunrise, you're stuck, and you have to continue to wander the earth instead of being able to go back into whatever other plane of existence.
Oh.
So because he's doing something to try and solve the mystery of his death, or he's trying to help his friend or whatever, he doesn't manage to get back to his grave at sunrise, by sunrise, and so he's stuck being a ghost. But that means he gets to hang around and help Randall solve all his other cases, and then, of course, get jealous when Randall starts getting interested in his widow and all that sort of good stuff. But, you know, it's lighthearted comedy, 1960s British stuff with a...
69?
Yeah, 69.
There, it was just gobs. Now, yeah, that's what I've been talking about with a few people. There's just been gobs, other than Dark Shadows and Bewitched, where it was like, it was just two seasons. And that's Addams Family, Munsters, Ghost of Mrs. Muir, this... Randall and Hopkirk, you know? You get things like Dark Shadows, that's 5-6 years, and Bewitched, which was before and after a whole 9. Mm. Which is funny, because 9 is quite a witchy number.
Yeah.
Really? That went for 9 years?
Yeah. Huh.
And it had 36 episodes a season instead of 24, which is likely why, by the time they got Dick Sargent, they just started repeating stuff that they had already done with Dick York.
And... Well, yeah, back then, there were a lot more episodes in U.S. TV seasons than there are now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And less commercials.
Oh, yeah, jeez. That was an old commercial.
So it's London?
Yeah, okay. and filmed in London, too, so that's an interesting difference between it and Dark Shadows, because, of course, Dark Shadows, you never, except in that first season, their first year, get the actual exteriors and the feeling that it's anything other than a soundstage, whereas this, you know, you're driving through the London streets, and you can recognize some of the landmarks. Oh, yeah, I used to walk down that street, and so that gives it an interesting, fun, whatever, time capsule glimpse of 1969 London feel to it.
Okay, yeah. Well, I guess I'm not sure where they would Hopkirk in to the series if I could use them, because so far the plan is that Lily and Elizabeth go to England and they have to go investigate this World War II soldier that Elizabeth used to know, or that they both used to know. And to find that, part of it, I'm using Carry On Screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to... I did a lot of notes for that. The spooky people from Carry On Screaming actually weren't in it that much, which made it a very boring movie. I mean, I love Jim Dale, but some of the stuff I was like, oh man, this is like lowbrow comedy.
But the spooky stuff was good. But they were kind of actually evil. And I thought, well... And then I was like,
oh, I didn't remember you'd seen it. I
finally found it online.
But it was pretty bad, mostly?
Mostly it was bad, but the spooky people I liked a lot. And I still was like, yeah. And I just loved the song. You know, Carry On Screaming, oh! And plus there's all the slew of Carry On movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw that one, and somebody had given me the song, so I got interested in that way. And then I looked at, it was like the guy who played Mr. Watt or Dr. Watt, he looked like a British version. He was like a British version of Jonathan Frid. It was really wild, except that he had kind of a goofier voice.
Mm.
And I was like, this is weird. And then there's, you know, the classic dark damsel in the slinky dress who says, mind if I smoke? And then she has steam coming out. So I was thinking, well, I don't know about Randall and Hopker, but then I'd have to investigate them too.
Well, it helps that they're private detectives. So if there's anything that Liz and Lily actually need to solve or discover, they can hire the private eyes to help. And because one of them is a ghost and Bill is along with your gals, Bill could actually meet the ghost of Marty, you know, hanging out in a pub or whatever. And then Marty, Marty could say, oh, well, you know, if your friends are looking for somebody, why don't you hire my partner? Why don't they hire my partner kind of thing? And so ladies can get introduced to Randall through the introduction of the ghost who's become buddies with Bill, having a pint down at the pub or whatever.
One of the things about the show is that only Randall can see Hopkirk.
Oh, yes, of course. Just like only usually Mrs. Muir can see the ghost, right, although they changed that along the way. The kids can see him, the dog can see him, eventually Martha can see him, which was weird, but it made sense. It made sense that they, because, you know, you get a ghost like that and then eventually you kind of run out of stories. I was like, you know, if they went for a third season, would the whole of Schooner Bay know about Captain Gray?
Probably. He'd be the parade marshal for the 4th of July parade or something like that.
Yeah. And then you'd have the out-of-towners confused.
Right.
They'd do the episode about that. This whole town is crazy. They see this guy who's not there.
Yeah. I forgot the nephew played by Charles Nelson Reilly could see Captain Gray, too. He did a good job. He did. I mean, not as whatever the name was, but when he got possessed by the captain, it was like he was a whole other person. I'm like, hey, Charles Nelson Reilly can act and be kind of alluring.
He's just... not just some guy from 70s game show.
Yeah, I was really impressed. I was just blown away. I was just like, whoa, I didn't expect that.
That's cool.
He was waltzing with Mrs.
Ah.
So yeah, I don't know. I love the idea of Bill finding, which one is it?
Marty Hopkirk.
Hopkirk, okay. Yeah, and I don't even, that's the other thing. It's like I'd have to, I couldn't even start to contemplate where to put them in without doing the whole series and just going, because that's how I did it with Ghost of Mrs. Muir. It's like I watched it twice, and then right. I was like, okay,
I think most of it's on YouTube or something like that, because the first time I was starting to tell you that you should really watch this, I did some looking, can you actually find the episodes? And I think you can. You gotta be careful that you find the original, because there was a remake sometime in the 90s.
Oh.
Which totally sucks, because they switch around which character is doing what in terms of what kind of characteristics they have and their tastes and whatever. And why bother? Why completely change it when, you know, the original was something people loved? Why do the complete reverse?
So I want to go to my blog, because I actually have a list of... thank you, Pinterest. Yes, I got all hot and bothered, and I put them all on Pinterest. Yes, hello. Where's my... saying web, and it's not giving me anything but Pinterest. Ah! There we go.
Pinterest has taken over.
People come and go so fast. It's like they have them, you know, like saying, hey, I want to join, and then they just disappear, and it's like, that's like common. And it's just Pinterest? Like back and forth. No, just with the pit in general. With anything. Oh, I love it! And then they just disappear, and I'm like, thanks, I think.
Everybody goes through phases, I guess. Sometimes it's just the right moment to really like this and really have time for it, and then other times it isn't.
I remember, because I made like a list, I was trying to figure out where the various storylines, you know, I was like, is there a timeline or something? Mm-hmm. And then somebody on a fan page went, that's not such a thing as this. They're like, gosh, sorry, I was just trying to have a good time, and the guy ran away from the fan page and he just went away. People were like, oh yeah, that guy, he kind of gets uptight.
Okay.
It's definitely this year. But yeah, I wrote down a bunch of stuff. Oh, wait, that's 16, so that's good. Somebody at a Munsters fan page helped me. He was kind of the guy who ran it, and I was like, you know, hey, can Lily and Grandpa see themselves in mirrors? And he sent me a picture where, yeah, he was like, he sees them in a mirror. Well, there it is. I'm like, okay, good. Oh, I don't have to worry about that.
It just keeps changing back and forth whether Barnabas appears in mirrors or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
a major plot element that he can't see him in the mirror, and then there he is in the mirror. Okay, fine.
It was funny. I just grabbed this from the DS Wiki. Jeff Kenney was like, yeah, go there again. And I'm like, yeah, I can go there. That's a good idea. Just for the setup of to what episode and all that, the huge list and stuff. Yeah. And then because I couldn't format it without the links to the Dark Shadows Wiki, I kept getting these hits just going to this timeline. And I was like, go to DS Wiki on your own. Get away. So I finally changed it where it didn't have any links there.
So it's like, we've got... Oh, yeah. Yeah, the trailers, Murder, Bill Malloy, Lore of the Phoenix, Jason McGuire. And this is pretty much where I've cut through, woven in. Didn't do 1795, just had us kind of hop back. And Wadsworth is already there for whatever reason. And Adam and Eve, I very quickly skipped. There's no Eve. It's just Sophia Petrillo comes in, takes Adam home, the end of story. And so then the Dream Curse, with Freddy Krueger, that also kind of got sideswiped. But it was sort of dangling for a while. So this is where I'm at. So what do we have in between? So there's The Werewolf, Quentin's Ghost, Return to 1796, that's like the retcon, I think. Or no, maybe I'm skipping that too, because there's no reason to go back, because Victoria's not having any problems.
Right, yeah, he only goes back to save her, so.
Yeah, and I've already, she's at the Addams Family House, so I don't have to worry about that. And I flubbed that in 2013, because I was getting confused between what I had interrupted and what had happened on the show, and suddenly Maggie is saying, well, if you have to go back and have that another, that trip, you know, one of those trips that you took, like the one that you did with Nathan Forbes, and I was like, that didn't happen anymore now. I gotta mess with that. I had to change those lines. So it was good that I slowed down for whatever reason and went back and started to, like, redo stuff. Whoa. Okay, so I would go to about, so Werewolf, Quentin's Ghost, 1897, Count of Count Count.
Count of Count Potofi.
Count of Count Potofi. The Leviathans, and then that's pretty much where I'm kind of snipped. No parallel time. That's actually something that gets up Caleb's nose. It's like, none of that parallel time nonsense. It's one of the reasons we're calling in Doctor Who, to just cut through it. So, yeah, I'm not sure where Randall and Hopkirk would fit in anywhere there.
Unless it is when Liz and Lily are on their trip to England, because of course these guys are in England, so that would make sense to slot them in there somewhere. And of course, another thing
they could go to Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they could just have a cameo.
Yeah.
I do cameos. Cameos work.
We were talking last night that Roger, for whatever stupid reason, seems to go to London all the time. If he's selling fish in London, he's got his big meetings with people who buy fish for the London Fish Market or whatever.
I like that idea more.
He goes to London, he could somehow make contact with Randall and Hopkirk for whatever reason. And
Randall's quite a ladies' man. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like Roger that idea. And Randall could meet in a nightclub or he just knows what, have some sort of adventure that you wouldn't have to show or anything. It could just be backstory. But then Roger could invite Randall, not Hopkirk because he's dead and nobody knows about him, but Randall. But anyway, could invite Randall to come visit at Collinwood and so he could pop up and be involved in some, and of course,
I like
Hopkirk
that.
As
that
well.
That's appealing to me more. That I'm seeing that more in my head because, yeah, I've been looking for something for Roger to do because with his Dale Carnegie trip, you know, he's tripping on the Dale Carnegie book. He's just like, everything's wonderful. I don't have to worry about him. You know, it's he's almost too laid back. And I want to keep him in and make sure that he's still functioning and being helpful and fun and or whatever he's doing. Yeah, that early Roger stuff is, boy, pain in the ass.
God, he's the villain. He and David are the villains at the beginning. And yeah, it's so dark and so creepy.
They are. I was like, whoa, you know, because the Roger I knew was just like, he was halfway too laid back. I didn't have to work that hard. Mm-hmm. I was like, you're halfway there already. That's why I was just perfect. The first episode that I do, can you come over to the old house, Barnabas? We seem to be having a problem. Oh? Yes, I know. When aren't we having a problem?
Exactly.
So somewhere in there, there's I've got to go through the 600s to 921. That's a lot of episodes. And a lot of stuff happens. And so yeah, that sounds good. Because I know I'm messing with it a bit, because when some of the stuff is coming up now that I'm working with it was Elizabeth that stayed home and Roger that went away. But now it's Elizabeth that's leaving and Roger that's staying. And I'm just thinking, this dynamic is just going to get weird. Because I liked... during that time period that Elizabeth and Barnabas were sort of running things together and they gelled good that way. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, it's going to be Barnabas and Roger running things and how on earth is that going to gel? I don't know.
Well, as long as Roger has a lot to drink, he'll be laid back enough that it won't be too much of a problem.
Yeah. Okay, so we workshopped that. I consider that pretty much fixed as far as future ideas.
And so there we are with Randall and Hopkirk deceased and a whole lot of other shows. I'm really happy with that workshop because we're talking about so many different layers of the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows and people who had been helpful along the way, like the gentleman from the Munsters group and, you know, various things that I don't touch anymore because, I mean, it's too slot machine, but people were trying and I really do appreciate that. And so many things, as bad as they were, people were trying, and I don't think many of them want to try anymore. I think they're too either busy doing the video game point thing and the like button and all that, or gossiping and coming up with phony stories about people they don't know. I can only do so much, and that's why communication is very important, because if you know who you're talking to, then you have a frame of reference from which to put out everything. And mostly what I was being exposed to was a lot of negativity, a lot of hatred, a lot of really bizarre stuff over a film, which, oof, you know, I wonder sometimes, how did Citizen Kane do? I kind of remember that was, had some problems of people being offended or something. And there have been things like that over the years, and I remember an aunt of mine, not the one I usually talk about, but there was an aunt who had said that she went to go see Jesus Christ Superstar, and my grandfather was so disappointed in her because she was curious. And, you know, now it's just old hat. Really, I mean, that's why I realized watching a lot of TV, a lot of news, a lot of MTV too, it's just all the scandal stuff. Why is it important? I mean, it's just there to get your attention. And artists like Marilyn Manson, among others, know that. One of those things. But I am really pushing the muse lately to try and get 21 out because I want to know what's going to happen. And I'm getting a few little things that would be fun to tell you about because I figure if you're worried about spoilers, you're not going to listen to any of these. So, yeah, and I really did bring this to the internet because I thought, you know, get a workshop going. It's kind of there, but everybody's so distracted by a lot of the social network stuff, a lot of things going on in their own lives, but more just those distractions and oh my gosh this and oh my gosh that, and it's, you know, pulling away. Like I said, I feel so much better. One thing that has charmed me, actually a few things have charmed me with the rough draft that I'm working out for 21 is Willie and Wadsworth make another appearance, have another conversation, have a lot to talk about, and that's good. And it was a way that they could get started with Willie overhearing something or being told something about Wadsworth possibly denying his knowledge of Mr. Loomison. And getting it started that way. And so just kind of going back to the first Pit episode and clearing up some of that stuff, because I had an inspiration months ago about that. Also some Barnabas and Maggie stuff, and having to figure out David and Amy, and possibly a little bit of Bob the bartender being concerned about the break-in that will eventually happen. And fun stuff. Bill and Liz, too. I got started a little bit on that last night. They won't be in 20, but I'm going to try and get them into 21, where we had left off with them very close to the end of 19, that hopefully will be coming up sooner than later. It depends on how fast everybody else wants to get through it and give me their discussion, because getting it just online definitely did not work. But anyway, also going through some of the stuff that happened with Bill Malloy's death in the original Dark Shadows and making sure I got that right, because I kept it vague before I knew, and I'm so glad that I did. I was talking to Helena, and she was like, well, does this mean this? And I'm like, no, you know, Oisin told me this about Bill Malloy's death, and that's why everything's staying vague. I do my best to do that, to make sure that if there is something coming up, that I can make sure that it's inserted in the right way. Just like with a serial or any kind of mystery, the mystery's open. And you don't change that until you have all the facts or the likelihood of what is the canon and what would not change over the course of many different series. So just trying to get that going. Oisin's been really busy with just a whole lot of ideas. If you've listened to the full run of this entire podcast, you know that I'm always telling you about the next thing that Oisin's got on. And every single time she always tries to, well, let me get you into it. But like with going back a year or two with Richard III, the real Richard III, not who Shakespeare wrote about, I told her on the phone, I am very pleased and have a great admiration for the idea of trying to set somebody's story straight from history rather than having something theatrical take over the idea. And that was one of the things where all the stuff that's been in fan work about Barnabas Collins really never getting to the heart of who he is. And he's kind of like the granddaddy of a lot of these vampires that I grew up with. So I gelled with him pretty quickly, as much as I was like, not impressed. But, you know, he impresses me now because I got into his role and all that. But yeah, I could see the parallel with Richard III historically versus the Shakespeare Richard III and people's idea about that. So if you have all this stuff about Barnabas Collins that's just out of touch with who he is on the show, yeah, I consider that a lot of pollution. So and also I let Oisin know, you know, I never really looked at Richard III by Shakespeare to be historically accurate. I just figured he might have made up a character or something, you know. I didn't really think about it because I had already seen bits of the Antony and Cleopatra stuff, and I was like, well, how historically accurate is this? It can't be. That I preferred whatever he actually made fictionally with fictional characters that he had created. That was my preference anyway. So she didn't have to worry about me taking Richard III, whoever the guy actually was in history, seriously from Shakespeare, because I already had another thing that seemed like it was gearing towards history, but probably wasn't accurate. It was just him writing about Queen Cleopatra, or Empress, or whatever. And I must say that I'm pretty grateful for people who get healthily obsessed with Barnabas and understand where he's coming from, and they, oh my gosh, just the first intro where I was like, how do I get a clean way to say this? And then I said, I guess that says it all, because I just was like, well, you know, these people are getting hot and bothered over this guy. I just saw it at a distance, but even at a distance, it was pretty strong. And I think Melissa was right. Yet he channeled the romantic dreams and needs of women. You know, that was why all the hatred. I'm like, oh, great. Now you got a character who's in touch with his feelings. I mean, if all y'all ever saw any of those women's magazines in the 1980s and 1990s, gotta get a guy in touch with his feelings. And then here's this character from the 60s, way early on, totally in touch with that. And then everybody's bashing him, including the women. I'm like, you guys, geez, what kind of man do you want? You know? And then, with me, and people getting all offended with me, I go back to Professor Higgins in My Fair Lady, where he's getting frustrated with Eliza Doolittle. And he's singing, well, Rex Harrison, not really singing, they told him to speak in rhythm, or whatever he was doing, but he was saying, why can't a woman be more like a man? You know, and I'm thinking, well, hey, here we are, Higgins, right? And they don't like that about us either. I'm like, oh, man. All these contradictions where I really get very concerned. But, yeah, I will definitely check out more of Randall and Hopkirk Deceased. I did so a month or two ago. I got a kind of sinking feeling from it. It didn't feel as lighthearted. It seemed a little, I don't know, I don't want to say snarky, but somewhere on the level of that, where I'm like, well, do these people even care about each other? Just like, everybody's kind of looking for cheap thrills here. At the same time, the exposure to that England will be important, even if it's on a fictional basis, just to get a feeling for where Liz and Lily are going, and the ghost of Bill Malloy, of course. Yeah, I think that Randall and Hopkirk Deceased will be very helpful, and thank you very much, Oisin, for pointing it out. And I saved that workshop just because I figured I don't want to really release it until we're almost there, and we're getting close, as far as this podcast as a whole, intros and extras and all that, goes. But, yeah, as for myself, I'm still pretty shaky. The beginning of this podcast was not lighthearted, just because I was thinking, oh, I gotta make another one, what do I do? And I'm so filled with a lot of shakiness, just watching so many people go downhill and trying to be there for people who need me. And I feel like if anybody's worried about either future generations or if I should, I mean, go work with kids. I did, you know. I've done my bit. Done my part. People say, oh, you did before. Do you want to? No, I don't. I don't. I mean, other than what I'm doing now, if I work with people younger than me, that gives me a feeling of contribution, because I really do try to do the banter that I can, that they understand, and also try to get them to be honest with themselves. And that goes for everybody. Just be honest with yourself. That's very important. So, with Randall and Hopkirk Deceased, yeah, I need to look into it more, I need to watch it more. And husband and I are watching more Doctor Who, more Dark Shadows. And, like, in the log entry, he turned on Star Wars, the Solo movie, and I just wandered in, because that's the best way to not feel like you have to not really make a commitment. Just see if it catches your attention. And it caught my attention, because there were a lot of Easter eggs and little things. That was what I wanted to talk to you guys about. Some very, very big insight that I found from a pen pal, who's quite a bit younger than me. And we, you know, we have a lot of the same tastes as far as pop music, dark wave music, entertainers in that variety. But it was funny, a lot of pen friends now, I just say, if you're interested in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, take your time, get to it when you get to it, when you're in the mood. Just like what I was saying with the movie that my husband and I watched, I wandered in, that was much better. I used to do that with my folks and other friends a lot of time when I was growing up. And I really enjoyed this pen friendship, but it was funny because she apologized for not getting into my show more and then kind of complaining that she has to quote-unquote Google everything to understand half the references. And because I was writing her back, I came to this wonderful insight, and I asked her if she always did that for every last thing in the world in entertainment she didn't understand. I proceeded to explain that I would watch the Marx Brothers films as a kid. And I didn't get half the references back then, because if you know about Marx Brothers films, we're going back to early 20th century. And I was born later 20th century, so they're saying a whole lot of things that I don't get. But for some reason, it's clicking with me. I'm into it. I'll just go through it. And I didn't have any magical Google or search engine to ask what the references they were talking about were. I learned those as life moved along. In fact, now that I'm telling you this, I don't think I ever used a search engine to understand anything in a Marx Brothers movie. I can't recall doing that. I just got to know them through films, television biographies I'd repeatedly watch, books, and more books. Not bad, eh? Then I was on the phone with my mom, just kind of going through this, and I talked about a segment of Animal Crackers, you know, where there's the Bogart painting or whatever, you know, not Humphrey, but some other particular painter. I think the painting was called After the Hunt. I don't know from any other painting in the world. But it was a reason that Mrs. Rittenhouse was going to have this party and all these people over. And I think I also like that because it's like, wow, it's like a giant slumber party. Because as a kid, I knew what a slumber party was. It was just everybody was a lot richer and had more room. People were playing cards and all that. But there was this segment of Animal Crackers that I pretty much memorized because I'd just seen it and heard it so much. And Captain Spaulding, Groucho's character, at some point he realizes that his watch is gone. And it's likely stolen from the professor, which is Harpo's character. And later, Groucho checks his pocket again, and he announced, "Now the fob is gone!" I had no idea what the heck a fob was, but I eventually decided it was something you kept your pocket watch in. I was close. A fob is the chain or ribbon attached to the watch. Make sure it doesn't, you know, fly out of your pocket, or if it does, you know, it'll still attach to something. So then Groucho, as Captain Spaulding says, straight to the camera, "Well, I still have the pocket. Anything I retain now is velvet, except for the coat. That's Prince Albert." Prince Albert? What the heck did he mean by that? I had no idea. And I wasn't dying to know at the time. Later I found out it was some kind of well-known tailor making suits and coats and all that. And that was something that my middle brother told me. That's how I found that out. And then Groucho finishes off his dialogue with, "Well, all the jokes can't be good. You have to expect that once in a while." Which was hilarious in and of itself. So there it is. Less than a minute of chat in a Marx Brothers movie. Chock full of details I would never have been born knowing. And I didn't have to worry about not having the answers. It wasn't important until I'd watched it the dozenth time. So as I'm talking to my mother on the phone, she was like, "Well, yeah, you know, I was watching The Quiet Man over and over and over again through those years, and hearing the Reverend character, you know, at the end, explaining what's happening, and then all of a sudden, you see, as much as, oh, it's all peaceful and quiet and Innisfree and all that, the town that The Quiet Man takes place in, and then you see this lady on a bicycle." Now, the audience probably doesn't think much of it, but the Reverend, he's got, like, she's like, "Oh no," you know, and he's like, "Make way, make way, she'll be running you down like a juggernaut." Now, my mom, she'd already had four kids, and she didn't know what a juggernaut meant, but it made her laugh. It was the context. It made her laugh. Just what it sounded like. And then later, she went and looked it up. Not online. Somewhere else. Dictionary, very likely. And then, it made her laugh even more. And that's the magic of the repeat visit. And that is what I'd like to share with you on a more lighthearted note. That suddenly there's this world of goodies online. And then our nonsense detectors just kind of fly out the window and we think all of it's gospel truth. Whereas I've made mistakes, a lot of mistakes on this podcast. You know, I know what I was saying about Will Wheaton, one of his shows, I got it mixed up with something different. Yeah, I was just so, my stress level was so high. I always try to get things so accurate, but there was only so much I could do with the crazy that's been eroding society right now. But I was hoping, you know, people, or something else that happened in 2017, where I'd gotten the Addams Family and the Munsters time period mixed up when I was talking about it, and I thought, oh, you know. Or that thing with the Kinks. The Kids Are All Right Now, that's the Who. And I had to go try and write a retraction, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, I'm not going to change it. Because people do have to realize that mistakes happen. We all make them. And when you're living in a world where a lot of stuff is being recorded, you have to come to terms with those mistakes. And you have to learn to live through them and to understand they are mistakes and that we can't all be perfect. And one of the reasons that heckling in private is fun is because between the friends that you're doing it with, you know that you're not being cruel. You're just having fun. It's not a big deal. But then when you write it down somewhere, set it in stone without any context of, we're just palling around, it's no big deal, you know, we don't really mean this, then you get what we have with social media and the internet and all that. People don't know what tone is being used. They're not getting the human responses of being in person or even just on the telephone. Knowing who the person is, knowing what your friendship's based on, all those important things. But also, like with the story about animal crackers, I didn't know so many things. And there were so many things I had to learn. You know, I had to learn them slowly. That's why they stuck. There was an experience that kind of gels it into your psyche. But with all these kids just reading whatever online and not reading it very well, and a lot of people of all ages doing the same thing, no, you're not informed. Because you're in too much of a rush. And the only emotion that you seem to be attaching to a lot of this stuff is total anger. And being offended. And I don't know what to tell you about how to change that other than if you want better in life, you have to figure out what better is. And what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, what is happiness? And that's what I've been trying to explain to a lot of the listeners. There's a great example of it at the end of The Kids in the Hall of Brain Candy. Just that cab driver. He kind of growls it out at the end. But learning things, yeah. It's scary to find all of these new fans to Dark Shadows, and they want so much of it, and they want it so quickly, that they go online to look at what's there. It's not necessarily true. It's weird to have people who claim to be fans of a television show and they've barely watched an episode of it. Or maybe they watched episodes of it long, long time ago and now they just decide, well, this or that other website will give me all the answers. Well, if you don't have the show, you're not watching it, taking notes, all that, then you're taking somebody else's word for it, really. It's a little like the end of Reading Rainbow. One of the great things LeVar Burton, the host, would say is, but you don't have to take my word for it, because he wanted you to read the books. And I've had quite a few people also tell me, oh, you're making people feel guilty. No, I'm not. I have not lost any sleep over the idea that I'm making people feel guilty. That comes from being a human being. It's an enhancement of what some other animals have at kind of a low-grade level. Usually I see it in mammals, but yeah. That's the thing that trips me out about people being offended. It's like, well, if you're offended, from what stage of morality are you being offended from? Because with the guilt thing, there has to be some sense of morality from that, I would hope. And yeah, I'm not causing that. That's something that happens to be a big part of a lot of human beings. I'm sure there's plenty of people listening to this that are complete sociopaths. They don't care about anybody's feelings. They don't care about mine. They don't care about anyone else who feels any guilt. And all the bystanding does is encourages sociopathic behavior, where it just doesn't matter. Nobody cares about anyone. So you can choose not to listen to this, and I can choose not to share it. And somewhere in between those two choices is finding a dialogue with the audience, meaning you. Some of you talk to me, many of you don't. The only thing I have lost sleep over is wondering what happened to everyone, because as Melissa said, this isn't the world we grew up in, and trying to figure out how to help you gain your confidence back in order to write correspondence again and to get in touch with who you are, what your feelings are, and not being worried about how you feel about what you enjoy. That should be something that you can get in touch with. If you want better, find out what better is for you. And I just got through responding to a letter. A very, very kind woman adores episode 16, Death in the Family, because she loved the confrontation between Sarah's ghost and Angel Lake. She said, finally. And just adoring having Beetlejuice give Angelique her comeuppance and the possibility of that. Only you could have thought of that, Daryl. Only you. So I get that wonderful response. And that's everything to me. You know, that's the big gift. And that was the whole purpose. Just trying to give you an example of what I'm looking for. And she really does feel it. You know, she grew up with Dark Shadows and she went to investigate it more to get into what I was doing. And she just was like, oh, this is making me feel better. And that was the point. What is better? We'll find out. So, no, I don't want you to feel guilty. All I can think is that maybe that guilt would do you a little bit of good, get you thinking about why you feel that way. And we really do need to do better for the people coming into this world and how to digest living in a world where many mistakes are recorded as well as triumphs. Because like I said, I've lived a very recorded life, so I had to deal with reincorporating old memories where they might have been lost. Just how the brain and the emotional system functions. Reabsorbing what was meant by what was said, explaining it, being aware of time, when things were said, your personal growth. And also knowing who you're talking to. If you're hearing a lot of gossip about people you don't know, if you're listening to me and then you see all these crazy things on social media, I really don't have time to worry about that because, I mean, you just think of who you're talking to. They're probably giving you some sort of rebus style of communication. I don't know, as anyone really can figure out their, you know, their buns from their elbows, as my auntie would say. But yeah, if you've listened to episode 1, you tell that I started this with the best of expectations. And a lot of people, really, old friends included, friends that I've lost, everyone just presumed good people are going to show up. But the thing is, good people became bystanders. That's what happened. So for years there, everybody was blaming everyone else who they didn't know. Just these numbers. Too many cooks in the kitchen. And this is why people aren't talking to you and trying to come up with anything, because we didn't have the answers, because people weren't communicating. They were just trying to come up with any old thing, being dependent on mommy internet to give them the answers. But I found a way out, and the only thing I think I can apologize for is just the sake that the fandom went downhill so bad. And I feel awful for these kids getting into Dark Shadows. I got in touch with one. I found out was in high school when the 2012 film was released, and I just thought, my God, you know, poor thing. But thankfully, there seems to be some level-headedness there, but I worry. What example have we given them? And the elders have given me not a very good example. Try to do what I can. And you'll notice that, yeah, I've gone off the handle. There was a time there where I was really working Beetlejuice real hard, and that, you know, if you've talked to other people who do this kind of work, it gets to you trying to encompass that kind of a character for that long. But you'll notice if you look in the right places that when somebody's being calm with me, I'm calm in return. The crazy only comes when someone's getting crazy with me most of the time, or I'm getting diddly squat and exposed to a lot of negativity. But storytelling's extremely important. I mean, a lot of faith is based on a lot of storytelling and getting something out of it. And that is what I want to present to you. And I want to find out what you're getting out of it, especially gosh. Especially with so many things, but I keep going back to William Wadsworth. And it really struck me in 14, their conversations. They were having fun, William Wadsworth. And then that very end where Willie is just trying to digest what happened. And Wadsworth's trying to tell him. We're trying to make it better, Mr. Loomis. Do you want to be here for that? Basically. I'm paraphrasing a lot, but I'll say for the third time, if you want better in life, you have to figure out what better is. And thank you very much, pen pals, and everybody who's been good to me. Thank you very much. Take care.